Good evening. How's everyone percolating?
I'm doing well.
All right, Deacon Percolator, how are you?
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
Truly, this is the day the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and we are glad in it. Amen.
Yes,
I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help, your help, our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Good evening.
Dr. Singleton, how you doing? I mean, you've been praising him all day, I bet.
Yes, Deacon Connor, I have been. I have something to tell him thank you for. Hallelujah.
All right.
I got something to tell him thank you for. I can brag on him every day.
Right.
I can brag on God. My. I'm more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We're going to try to finish up chapter 8 on tonight. Romans chapter 8 tonight. I have something to tell God thank you for. His Holy Spirit lives in us, dwells in us. Hallelujah.
All right. Well, good evening. It is September the 3rd. 2024. It is 7 o'clock p.m. We are ready for our walk in the Word. Welcome to the 3 P's and the E: preaching, prayer, praise, and equipping by teaching in Matthew 28:19-24. So, on the behalf of Gathering Place Beyond the Wall, Gates of Tabernacle, Out of the Box Ministries, and Enlightenment Thursday in the Scripture. Minister Mary Whitfield, we welcome you to our walk in the Word. We're going to begin our session tonight with prayer by Deacon Everett, and then we'll have a song, and we will have our walk in the Word. Amen. We are ready.
Father God Almighty, the maker and creator of all things, God, we come before you this evening to glorify you and to praise you. For you are God, the one and only true and living God. And God, we are nothing without you. God, we seek you because you are omniscient. You have knowledge of all things. You know what each of us stand in need of. God, we seek you because you're sovereign. Your power super rules over any power of this world. And that gives us peace. That gives us reassurance that no matter what is going on in our own individual lives, no matter what's going on in this world, it can't penetrate to us because we have our Father, God Almighty, who lives within us through the indwelling presence of your Holy Spirit. And for that, God, we are grateful. God, we are grateful that you have allowed us to see another day, one which we've never seen before. You've allowed us to make it to this 7 p.m. hour, Lord, and you've kept us all safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. And God, we want to thank you for loving us so and that you allowed your only begotten Son, Jesus, to die for all of our sins. And Jesus, we are forever grateful that you redeemed us.
Yes.
Jesus, we are grateful that you continue to always cause us to triumph through you who give us the strength. Jesus, we are grateful that even though our bodies are going through some physical changes, by your stripes we're still healed and we're restored. And God, we seek your forgiveness. But Lord, we've fallen short. We've sinned against you.
Yes.
We've said some things, God, that we shouldn't have said. God, we've had an attitude and a mindset that we should have had, because once we accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, that should have never been a part of our character. But sometimes our humanness causes us to go back to our old ways temporarily. We ask for your forgiveness, so we are grateful that your Holy Spirit reminds us that that is not of us now. So, Lord, we need your understanding. we need your understanding of your word as we sit at this table. Because, God, we need to know how to handle the challenges of this world. But we realize and understand that we can do all things through Christ. And we realize without Christ, we can do nothing. So, Lord, as we sit at this table, Holy Spirit, we ask that you speak to our minds and our hearts, that you lead us in the way of truth. Father God, as your preacher man or woman comes before us tonight to break the bread of life, I ask that you speak to him or her, that you give them mental clarity, you give them peace of mind, that they will speak your word with simplicity and with understanding. We're trusting in you, God, to remove anything that may try to hinder us from receiving the message that is intended for us. God, you know what every family stands in need of. Some of us are going through sickness and pain in our bodies and our bones. We know that this is temporary because healing is a process, and we know that by Jesus' stripes, we've already been healed. Some families are going through bereavement right now, God, and they need your loving arms of protection to cover their emotions and help them during this, their challenging moments. Some families are, God, are just going through family issues where the family seems not to be getting along right now. But God, we know that you are God of peace, and we know that the Holy Spirit can change hearts and change minds and usher families back into the spirit of togetherness and love. So Lord, whatever our issues are, we'll bring them to you, trusting you. And as we sit here at this table, reveal to us how we can apply your word to our lives and to our situation. And God, when we go out into this world and meet people that don't know you, Lord, help us to humble ourselves.
Yes.
Help us to mind our speech and not speak our mind. Guide and direct us, Holy Spirit, as to how we are to meet that person, a person, where they are. Because we are charged to serve this present age. That is our calling to fulfill.
Yes.
And we just ask now, God, that as we sit at this table, infuse us even more with your power, with your wisdom, with your understanding, with your peace, and with your calmness to walk in confidence, because you tell us in your word to cast not away our confidence, for it has a great recompense of reward. Thank you, Father God, for blessing us with ministers and pastors and evangelists and apostles that come to break the bread of life with us. I pray your blessing upon each of them. I pray that you will continue to richly give them your word of truth, that when they speak, God, that they will speak with boldness, that they will speak your word into others' life, that others will want to know who you are. And once they plant that seed, you trust in the Holy Spirit to come about and change hearts and change minds and change directions. So, Lord, have your way now on this line as we study into your word, and we will forever glorify and give you the praise and honor. It is in Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Dave. Amen. Is Sister Susie on the line? He's a battle axe in the time of battle. He's a battle axe. In the time of battle, he's a shelter in the time of the storm. Oh, amazing grace, sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me. Lord, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was a blind, but now I see. My Lord, he's a battle axe. In the time of battle, he's a battle axe. In the time of battle, he's a battle axe. In the time of battle, he's a shelter in the time of the storm. Oh, Lord, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. Oh, if thou withdraw thyself from me, oh, whither shall I go? My Lord, he's a battle axe. In time of battle, he's a battle axe. In the time of battle, he's a battle axe. In the time of battle, he's a shelter in the time of the storm. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
He is a battle next. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Time of the battle. Hallelujah.
Man.
Thank you, Lord. He is a battle axe.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Time of battle. A shelter in the time of storm. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Deacon Connor. Thank you, Deacon Connor. Thank you,
yes, sir.
Brother Everett.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah for stepping us forward in the time in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ tonight. We just thank God to be on the line tonight, to be able to come forth to the saints of God and be able to share
yes,
with y'all
Lord.
Tonight. Amen, amen. I'm excited tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We know that we have Dr. Deb Singleton as our reader tonight and Apostle Asad is coming alongside to help us tonight as we all tag one another to see if we can bring something powerful to the saints on the line tonight. I'm
all
so
right.
thankful to have these two sisters, my friends in Christ, my sisters in the faith, my co-workers in the ministry. I'm so thankful to have both of them on this journey tonight.
All right.
It'll be
all
a
right.
powerful, powerful walk. We're going to see what God is. Y'all pray for us as we walk through it. See how God, we know that a threefold cord is not easily broken. So we are bound together tonight to bring this word to y'all tonight. I'm going to kind of look at the topic tonight. I'm just going to throw that out as a topic and whatever's in your heart and your mind and your spirit. Hopefully y'all had an opportunity to go back and read through chapter 8 in Romans as we're walking through the book of Romans. All roads lead to Rome. As we walk through it, walking out the Romans road to salvation, we want to continue to walk in that and be lifted up by the words of Paul as he ministers to us through this powerful book that he has written.
Mm-hmm.
And so just as a topic, I'm going to throw it out there. You know, could be that Dr. Deb or Apostle Asai might have some other flavor to it, but I'm going to look at us focus on us being more than conquerors, more than conquerors. That's something we always say, but we want to know tonight. We want to hammer that home that we are more than conquerors, and we're going to deal with some other aspects as we walk to that title tonight. Paul, you know, as we talked last week when he transitioned into chapter 8, you know, he uses the word therefore as he got into the beginning of chapter 8, which means that as a result of. And so he begins to connect his
right.
thoughts that we see in chapter 7 with the revelations that he gave us in chapter 8. As he's culminating something, we come to the climax, apex of this thing, where he's really pushing us up as he's already told us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so we know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is through Christ and the everlasting life that we have. So we have salvation through the gift of God. And so we see that he talks about that, and Paul tells us that as a result of being released from the law and being bound to Christ, that we are no longer condemned to hell. Why? Why? Because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life breathes into us and liberates us from the law of sin and death. We no longer live by the flesh, which is our fallen, corrupt nature. We live by the Holy Spirit, and we set our minds on what God desires. The Spirit of God lives in us. We are born again of the Spirit. We are adopted into God's family. God is our Father, and we can call him Daddy. Daddy? Come see about us. Daddy, I need your help. Daddy, help me along this journey. As we draw close to him, we become more bound in the relationship between us and our God, who's our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we are heirs with. We're co-heirs with Christ. So because we are his children, as joint heirs, we share in Christ's sufferings now, as well as his glory to come. it's the sufferings that tend to trouble us as we look for the being, as we look forward to being glorified. We struggle with the sufferings of today. So how do we endure? Well, as we walk through the remainder of chapter 8, we're going to deal with some of those things. And I pray that the word of God will speak to your hearts. As Dr. Singleton will come and read, as she comes to read, she'll be reading from the Amplified. It's been so powerful to hear it in the Amplified. And the word speaks. It comes alive. So let the word come alive in our hearts and our spirits tonight, that it might be edified, so that we might lift up our Lord and we be edified in Jesus' name. Dr. Deb.
Good evening to my family. Truly, again, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I am rejoicing, and I am glad in it this evening. We pick back up in Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse number 18, and as Pastor Kuiper has stated, we will be reading from the Amplified. Also, we would like to refer you to the handout, again, pages 18 through 20, where you are able to pull some nuggets from chapter number 8, and we certainly want to hear from you this evening. Pastor Kuiper, as we begin reading in verse number 18, and we go all the way down to verse number 27 in our first half of this section, we are looking at a wonderful future that we have as God's people, those that have made the Romans 10, 9, and 10 sincere declaration. But you've done more than just that, knowing that you are connected to the true vine, John 15, and that your mind is being renewed by the word of God. And we look at John 3, 16, and we see what God did for us. But we also see in Colossians 3:16 that we are to allow the word to dwell in us richly. So tonight, as we pick back up at verse 18, we begin to look at this wonderful future that we have as God's people. Again, reading from the Amplified on tonight. It reads, "But what of that? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us and for us and conferred on us. For even the whole creation, all nature, waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons to be made known, waits for the revealing, the disclosing of their sonship. For the creation nature was subjected to fertility, to futility, condemned to frustration. Not because of some intentional fault on its part, but by the will of him who so subjected it, yet with the hope." Verse 21, "That nature, that creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and corruption and gain an entrance into the glorious freedom of God's children. We know that the whole creation of irrational creatures has been moaning together in the pains of labor until now." Verse 23 says, "And not only the creation, but we ourselves too, who have and enjoy the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, a foretaste of the blissful things to come, groan inwardly as we wait for the redemption of our bodies from sensationality and the grave which will reveal our adoption our manifestation as God's sons and daughters. For in this hope we were saved. But hope, the object of which is seen, is not hope. For how can one hope for what he already sees? But if we hope for what is still unseen by us, we wait for it with patience and composure. So too, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid. Oh, we need to circle verse number 26. So too, yes, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. That's a function, you all, of the Holy Spirit. He, Holy Spirit, operating in our lives. For we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit, the capital S-P-I-R-I-T, himself goes to meet our supplication. Can y'all see it? And plead on our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. And he who searches the heart of men knows what it is in the mind of the Holy Spirit, what his intent is, because the Spirit, capital S-P-I-R-I-T, intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will. Hallelujah, y'all. Verse 26 and 27. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have someone. We have the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, that is interceding for us in the midst of our week when we don't know what to pray, don't know how to pray. Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groaning that we do not even understand. And he is aligning us with God's will, not our will, but we are in harmony with God's will as he prays for us. Hallelujah. Back over to you, Pastor Reggie and Apostle Atside. Verses 18 Amen. Through 27 in your hearing.
Amen. Amen. Let me just start out this way. Hey, you know, as I look at this particular passage, and it talks about our present suffering. So we know we're going to go through struggles. When Paul was writing to the church at Rome, they were suffering. They were under some persecution. They were going through some different trials, tribulations. And so were the saints throughout the whole known world at the time. So they were suffering. But he said the present sufferings are not worth comparing with the future glory that's going to be revealed in us. So, saints on the line, if nothing else, I want to encourage you tonight, whatever you might be going through, put your mind and eyes on that future glory that will be revealed in us at the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, the creation is waiting eagerly. We're waiting eagerly for the children of God, for us to be revealed, to be glorified. Listen, and I want to point out a few points before I turn it over to Apostle Asai. Just a couple of points in here. This is such a rich passage. The whole creation. When God created the heavens and the earth, when he created everything, it was perfect. But sin came. Decay came. And so we see that the earth is moaning. And so when I think about the groanings here, I saw three groanings that I want to point out. The creation is groaning in pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. And we are groaning inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. Yes, these old bodies that we have, some of us getting up in age a little bit. Some people may be young, their bodies are developing. But for us, it'd be coming down on the back end. You know, it said our outward man is perishing, but our inward man is growing every day. We look forward to the glory that God's going to reveal in us, that glorified body, that glorified state. It has not appeared of what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Hallelujah. We ought to say hallelujah tonight. And so we have two things. The creation is groaning. We are groaning. and when it's necessary on our behalf, even the Holy Spirit groans, hallelujah, with wordless groans, with certain intercession on our behalf. That was verses 26 and 27 that Dr. Dale was putting out before us. Yes, the Spirit intercedes on our behalf. We don't know what to say sometimes. We just groan and moan in that thing. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to turn it over to Apostle. Apostle, come on in, Apostle, and let us see how the Holy Spirit and God is going to guide you with some words of thought for us tonight. God bless you.
Amen, amen, amen. What a powerful chapter. Amen. To give us confidence. Honor to each of you tonight, to Pastor Kiefer and to Dr. Singleton, to all of you, to the devotional part today, the prayer, heartfelt prayer, and the song. We thank God for each of you that are on the line. We honor you tonight in your rightful place in the Lord. Listening to your Pastor Kiefer talking about being more than conquerors, that is powerful. We got something that we didn't earn. They talk about grace right there, the grace of God that loved us so much that gave us what we could not earn, what we did not deserve, to be more than a conqueror. That says to me tonight in the opening here, that it doesn't matter what we face, talking about the suffering, the present suffering, when we look at being more than a conqueror and the present suffering, the trials, the tribulations that we go through in this life, in this walk, the glory that is to be revealed, it's not to be compared, it doesn't equal. When you put it on the scale, it's going to far outweigh the glory to be revealed in that day. It's going to far outweigh anything we've ever, all of what we have faced and went through and experienced in this lifetime, that the glory that's going to be revealed is going to far outweigh it. It has more weight to it. It's a greater reward than what we've suffered. It's far more greater. When you weigh it, when you think about it, when you consider all the things that we are called to endure in this Christian walk, what we're going to get is going to far outweigh that. That tells me that if we are more than a conqueror, and it does not matter what we go through or what we face, how hard and how difficult. The Apostle Paul said one time, these light afflictions, you know, they're temporary. He said they're light things, and it feels like sometimes when we go through certain things, it doesn't feel light to us. But when we compare to what Christ has purchased for us and all that he went through for us, making us more than conquerors and taking the things that we go through and working them for our good, that says we are more than a conqueror. And that, you know, with him, with Christ and what he has purchased in his death on the cross, it's far more precious than silver and gold that's tried. It's worth more than gold, and we value gold, and we wear a little gold on our fingers, and we wear some around our neck. But the glory that's going to be revealed at the coming of the Lord for those that hold out and endure to the end and hold glory to God. Hold that confidence fast until the end.
Yes.
Those that don't give up, we have some precious, precious promises. And Paul talked about last week, you know, we was in a situation, who's going to deliver us? And now this week he's talking about the deliverance that has been purchased for us by Christ Jesus, the suffering he went through, the punishment that he took for us. He took the biggest blows. Sure, the song say, must Jesus bear the cross alone and the world go free. We know we can't go free. We got to partake in that death. We partake in that suffering. As Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, we are told to arm ourselves likewise with that same mind, the mind that we're going to get over it, that we're going to come through it. It doesn't matter what I'm called to face in this life. as I reign, suffer through, then I can reign with him. And as I endure hardness as a good soldier, I know that I'm going to come out victorious. I know that I have the victory. I understand Pastor Paul said, who going to deliver me? And he come to the conclusion that, thank God, Jesus Christ has already paid the price. And whatever we face in this life, whatever trials we're called to bear, they feel heavy sometimes. They weigh us down. They wear us down. They wear us out sometimes. The Bible talks about that the devil is desiring to wear out the patience. He just sometimes he can't make us, you know, commit some things, so he'll just try to wear us out and wear us down. But it doesn't matter what we face, sisters and brothers. We have the confidence to know that Jesus Christ has delivered us. He has delivered us from this law of sin and death, and it have no more dominion over us. And we are more than conquerors because we know that whatever we face, however hard the trials, however long they are, we know what we have in Jesus Christ. He has set us free. Glory
Hallelujah.
To God. He set us free from this law of sin and death. And now we live by the law of the Spirit, by the dictates of the Spirit. And God wants us to know that whatever we face, however hard it is, however long it lasts, we know by faith in the finished work of the cross that we are more than a conqueror, that we are victorious. We say we are healed. We are delivered. We are set free. You know, we know this by faith
Hallelujah.
In him. So it makes us more than conquerors. It makes us hold on and hold out. It makes us say hallelujah, praise God, even in the midst of what we're going through. We know that we are winners. We've read the end of the book, and we know that his report is true. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We are more than a conqueror. When he took the battle and fought it for us and handed us the victory, gave the spoils unto the people of God. And we can look with confidence tonight that whatever we are true, even tomorrow, whatever we have been given to face, ordered for, sometimes God orders trials for us. He orders tribulation, but they are for our good. We know that he work them. He's take those things that we go through and cause us to align with his will and his purpose. And we know that. Glory to God. He's working it out for our good.
Hallelujah.
And we can be confident in that, that we are more than a conqueror. If we could keep that uppermost in our minds, even when we're going through, because we have a tendency sometimes when things bear down, we kind of have to regroup sometimes. But if we could go ahead and hold on to what the word of God said, knowing that even in this difficult trial, I'm more than a conqueror because he's working it. He's bringing me to that. He's bringing me to that good thing, to that excellent weight of glory that is going to be revealed in me. And I thank God tonight that we are, we already are. And that blesses my soul. Pastor Kuiper started the walk tonight with that particular passage. We are more than a conqueror, whatever we go through. Been through some hard, difficult trials. And even when God bring us through that, it boosters our confidence in the word of God and who God is and what he say he'll make it good, that we indeed are more than a conqueror, whatever we face, however it presses down. We're going to come out victorious. Amen. We win.
Amen.
We are more than conquerors. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Hallelujah.
And that blesses my soul tonight, that whatever it doesn't matter the weight, how heavy it feels now. God is a burden bearer. He's a heart regulator. He's a mind. And so we can look to him and know that these things have been already fixed. You know, the Lord spoke to me one time. I was responding to a message that had been preached in church, and I had been asked to respond. And in the midst of responding to that particular message, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said these words. He said, the fight is fixed in your favor. And it really hit me, but sometimes we have to take heed to how we hear, because what I heard, it was fixed in my favor. I didn't hear the fight. But to know tonight the fight,
all right.
We are more than conquerors, and we don't have to fear anything. When I thought about it and when the trial began to unfold, the fight that he was talking about, when it began to unfold, I said, oh, my God, I didn't even hear the fight part. I hear it's fixed. But we can have the confidence tonight that the fight indeed is fixed in our favor. And it doesn't matter how long it hangs on. It's fixed. It is like he said it is. And when I say tonight that we are more than a conqueror, the fight is fixed. We are more than a conqueror. It's fixed.
You don't know exactly how
it's going to unfold. But tonight we know, because we are more than a conqueror, that the fight is fixed. And you know, we know about boxing and things like that. They throw the fight, but tonight it's fixed in our favor. We may have come out with a little bruise sometime or a little blow to the eye or whatever. But we know, because we are more than a conqueror, the fight is fixed.
Amen. Pastor, I had in my mind when you was talking, you know, we ought to, I know people have their phones mute, but they should be saying to themselves tonight, I'm more than a conqueror.
Somebody already said it to themselves, I'm more than a conqueror.
Hallelujah. Because I know the fight's been fixed in my favor. It's a fight, but it's still in my favor. God bless you. So powerful. Hallelujah. I also heard somebody hold my mule. Father, when you get to going, we know you're going to get it. Amen. Mm-hmm. God bless you. So what I'm going to do right now, Dr. Deb, I'm going to ask if you're going to read tonight, that you read the rest of this chapter, because we're pretty much in it. And then we're just going to turn everybody loose and turn Apostle loose again on some more things that might be in there, some more nuggets might be in there. But the focus is we're more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Yes.
Amen.
To say that, just one comment is that we are more than conquerors because we know who lives on the inside of us. We have dunamis power. We have the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us. So we must live in the Holy Spirit. John 14:26 says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And what does he bring to our remembrance? That we are more than what? Conquerors. We are already victorious. We have already made it to the touchdown line. We might be on the 5 or the 10 or whatever, but in my spirit, I know I'm already there. As Apostle said, I'm already healed. I'm already delivered. I'm already an overcomer in the situation. Yes. So thank you again for reminding us as we go through Romans chapter 8. Notice all the mention of he, Holy Spirit. Remember now, Holy Spirit is not an it. It is a part of the Trinity. So notice the Holy Spirit. The only way you can make it, we as disciples of Christ, as believers, you cannot do this on your own. You have to submit. You have to surrender. You have to walk in obedience to the Holy Spirit living in your life. When you say, I throw up my hands, I don't know what to do. Oh, yes. Mm. You have someone on board in your life that will order your footsteps. We sing the song, Order My Steps, in your word, dear Lord. But are we allowing the Holy Spirit to order our steps? Because all you got to do is go in your prayer closet, Matthew 6:6. What does the song say? Have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about it. So if we look at this scripture, understand that you have on board in your life, you have the helper. You have the comforter. You have the advocate. You have the intercessor living on the inside of you. So we should not walk in defeat. We should not walk in despair. We should not walk as though we can't make it. He, Holy Spirit, lives. If you are born again, as Jesus told Nicodemus, he, Holy Spirit, lives on the inside. Hold up your head. Lift up your head. Oh, ye gates, be ye lifted up. Let me go on. I'm going to do what I'm instructed to do. Let me be obedient.
All
let
right,
me pick
all
up
right,
at verse
right.
number
ahead.
28. Verse number
Watch
28.
Out.
I'm going to read. It says, we are assured and know that God, being a partner, notice this, you all, he is a partner in their labor. All things. When you know God is a partner in your situation, notice this, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those, notice this, who love God and are called according to his design and his purpose. It's all working together for good. It's fitted. There's a plan, you all. This is not haphazard. This thing that happened to you and that thing happened to you, it wasn't haphazard. It's a plan that God's working in our lives. It's a plan. And notice this. We are not in the plan and in the working by ourselves. God is a partner in this. And if God is a partner in it, I'm connected to him. I'm connected to the power source. I've already overcome. I'm already victorious. Sisters and brothers, I'm like Pastor Kiefer. We are more than conquerors. You got to know that, Sister Pat Taylor, that you are more than a conqueror. You got a partner that is in this with you. You are not alone. Let me keep reading. Verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, of whom he was aware, and he loved, notice this, loved beforehand. He also destined from the beginning, that means foreordaining them to be molded. Notice this, you all. And notice this, Sister Mac in Alabama. We are being molded into the image of his son and share inwardly his likeness, that he might become the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he thus foreordained, he also, notice this, he calls. And those whom he calls, he also, notice this big word, justify. Pastor Kiefer has been talking to us about this word, justify. That means we have been acquitted, Deacon Connor. We have been made righteous, Brother Everett, putting them into right standing with himself. And those whom he justified, meaning made right, he also, notice this, glorified, raising them to a heavenly dignity and condition or state of being. I'm going to keep on reading. What then, verse 31, what then shall we say to all this? If God is for us,
yes,
who can be against us? Oh, y'all know I'm happy about this. I'm not emotional so about it, but I'm happy about it. I'm joyous about it because I know that God is with me. It said, if God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be our foe? If God is on our side. Somebody need to highlight it in their Bible. I got mine underlined. I'm going to keep on reading. Verse 32. He who did not withhold or spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all. That's John 3:16 right here. Will he not also with him freely and graciously give us all other things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect when it is God who justifies, that is, who puts us in right relation to himself, who shall come forward and accuse or impeach those whom God has chosen? Will God who acquits us? Who is there to condemn us? Will Christ Jesus, the Messiah, who died, or rather who was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, actually pleading as he intercedes for us? Who shall ever separate us from Christ's love? Oh, can't nothing separate me from his love. I can only talk about myself. Verse 35, who shall ever separate us from Christ's love? Shall suffering, and already talked about it, and affliction, we've already talked about it,
tribulation, we've already talked about it, or calamity and distress, or persecution, or hunger, or destitution, or peril, or sword. Even as it is written, for thy sake, we are put to death all day long. We are regarded and counted as sheep for the slaughter. Notice verse number 37. Someone might need to put their phone on mute. Someone might need to put their phone on mute. We're so glad that you're joining with us this evening, but you might need to put your phone on mute so you can hear this one really good. Verse number 37, it says, yet amid all these things, we are more. Now, who's the we? The children of God. The children of God. We are more than conquerors and gain, notice this, a surpassing victory through him who loved us. The victory comes through Jesus. That's the only way we can have victory. That's the only way we can be more than conquerors. That's the only way that we can be overcomers. It is through Christ Jesus. For I am persuaded. Listen to Paul, y'all. In verse 38, he said, for I am persuaded beyond doubt. I am sure this thing, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things impending and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, oh, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Notice this, all the things that is listed here, is nothing that is missing. And what I'm reassured of tonight, none of these things will be able to separate us, the children of God, the true children of God, the believers, the ones that know that Holy Ghost live on the inside of you, the ones that know that you're connected to the true vine, the ones that know that your mind is being transformed by the word of God. Let me say this. If your mind is being transformed by the word of God, you don't go back talking these words of defeat. You don't go back talking these words of despair. You don't go back saying, Lord, go to the hospital. You realize that you have dunamis power on the inside of you to go to the hospital and lay hands on the sick. You realize that you have power to walk through your own house and speak peace. Hallelujah tonight. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love that God has for us, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Back over to you, Pastor Reggie and Apostle. Amen. That is the complete reading of Romans chapter 8.
Amen. Amen. I'm just going to add a few thoughts. So powerful. So powerful words coming from Apostle Asad, coming from the reading of the scripture, and also the Spirit of God speaking to us tonight as being more than conquerors. I just had some thoughts about this, my sisters and my brothers on the line tonight. We're being more than conquerors. It's one thing to be a conqueror. That's a good thing in and of itself.
Come on.
He said we're more than conquerors. That means something is more than, something supernatural is more than just conquering. We're more than that. We should never be where we feel defeated. But yeah, the enemy will come and make us feel defeated sometimes. But we should know who we are, because we are, nothing will separate us from that love that's in Christ Jesus. It's in Christ. So in Christ, we have this love that God had for us. God sent his son to die for us. He did work for us. He worked this out for us. And because he worked it out for us, we can stand confident and assured that we are more than conquerors. And nothing can separate us from the love of God and for the love of Christ that's in him. He loves us. We know that he loves us. And we loved him because he first loved us. And so it's the power connecting us by the love of God in our hearts that's shed abroad by the Holy Ghost. We can't get away from the Holy Ghost. I'm sorry, I meant to say Holy Spirit for some of those more modern today. But the Holy Ghost, there's something about that. There's something about the Holy Ghost. It's something about him strengthening us, keeping us, being there with us, speaking for us, groaning for us, interceding on our behalf. Hallelujah. He is our paraclete. He's our comforter. He's there to guide and keep us and direct us. Yes, we are going to have trouble. This is one of the pinnacle parts of Paul in this particular letter, talking about all the different things that we face, perils, trials, tribulations, sickness, disease. Nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. When you got that in your spirit, you can walk this thing a little better.
Yeah.
This thing is going to be, because the apostle, you said it's a fight. You say you got it's a fight. We got a fight going. But we got to continue to fight until that time when he comes, and we will be glorified. Amen. Amen. Apostle, I want to turn to you, let you kind of wrap us up on the chapter. Go ahead, Apostle. God bless you tonight.
Amen. This is a powerful, powerful, amen, passage tonight. Of course, all the word of God is. I just heard Dr. Singleton read what Paul said. I am persuaded. This is a walk that we have to be persuaded. We have to have, it talked about early in the chapter, a mindset. Set your mind. You have to set your mind. I can remember growing up in church and they sang a song, it takes a well-made up mind to serve the Lord. We have to have a mindset. We have to have our mind renewed. And mine has to be made up, because trouble will come. The enemy will come, and he will cause the Lord. Well, the devil doesn't realize that God uses him, but he uses him for his purpose to fulfill it. He allow him to take certain things in our lives, to touch certain things. As he told Job, you know, just don't touch him. Touch the stuff, but don't touch him. And I have lost some things in my life that God allowed. And all of these things, still through these things, we are more than a conqueror. And so when we lose things and when we can't attain things, we still got to be persuaded. And tonight I'm like the Apostle Paul. I am persuaded that there is nothing that will happen, that can happen, that God will allow to happen, that will cause me to give up on God. I have that persuasion. I saw a vision. Once I was sitting in my living room, I was sitting on my sofa, and I saw a vision of a big picture window behind where I was sitting. The vision took place behind me. It was as it was a big open window, and I saw myself walking through this beautiful, beautiful garden, and I'm sitting. And behind me, there was no picture window in my living room, but I saw a vision of a big picture window, and I saw myself behind me looking out of that big picture window, and I saw myself walking through this beautiful garden that was intertwining among trees and different foliage. It was just so beautiful, and I saw myself walking, and as soon as I saw the vision, it disappeared. But in the midst of it, I heard the voice said, I give unto you eternal life. And so I'm persuaded tonight that whatever face, whatever I have faced, whatever I will face, whatever is coming, that I am more than a conqueror, that he has already overcome it, that even the tribulations that we will face, he said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome. And he is our example. He came to this earth. And he walked through to show us how to do it. He showed us how to overcome. He showed us how to get through those things, the tests and the trials. And he allowed himself to face everything that we will face, everything that man has faced. It's no temptation taken us, but such as is common to man. But he will take that same temptation, hallelujah, and make a way of us to escape. That's why we know we are more than conquerors. He's still fighting for us. He's still interceding for us. He's like a cheering squad for us. As he told Peter, that your faith fail not. I prayed for you. He's interceding for us. He's rooting for us. He wants us to win. He has seen us win. He has claimed the victory. He has purchased it. And so we have to be persuaded tonight that whatever we face, and the Apostle Paul named some things, and it does not matter what it is, that we got to know that, and we are more than a conqueror. We have to be persuaded. We have to have the mindset that we are victorious. We have to have the mindset that God has already paid the price. He's already fought the battle. He's already won the victory for us. Now we must walk it through, but we, amen, we are more than a conqueror. We can do this. We are winners. We are victorious.
Yeah.
The battle has been fought and the victory won, and God has done it for each of us. Amen. Glory to God. What a blessing. Mm-hmm. Amen. To know that, to be persuaded that I've come this far. Amen. Glory to God. And I can make it through Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
That I can do all things through Christ.
Hallelujah.
Who strengthens me. Who empowers me. Who enables me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We can't lose with what we lose, what we use. Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Who aids us, who come along beside us. Amen. Glory to God. And even when our weakest, we are strong. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bless the name of the Lord. I am persuaded tonight. I am persuaded. I am persuaded. I am persuaded. Glory to God.
Right.
That none of these things
that's
can hinder my walk in Christ. That nothing can separate me from it. Amen. I realize tonight the only thing that can separate me from the love of God is my own iniquities, my own sin. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. But for us that walk in Christ, as I heard Dr. Singleton say, the true believers, amen, we know, we are persuaded, amen, glory to God, that we're not condemned. Listen, sometimes God has to chasten us, but he don't condemn us. Amen. Glory to God. He has to chasten us sometime because he chasten those that he loved. He scourged every son that he received. Amen. He might have to whip us sometime, but he'll never condemn us. Hallelujah. When you think about it, amen, if you're in a body of water, amen, and if you can keep your head above the water, amen, your head above the water, it doesn't matter if the body is in the water. If the head is above the water, amen, you'll never drown. You'll never be defeated. Amen. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Our head tonight, Jesus Christ, is above the water. He's above all. Amen. Glory to God. And that's why we can't be condemned, because we are the body of Christ, and his head is above the water. If you can't drown him, if you can't kill him, if you can't destroy him, you can't destroy us, because we are in him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And the Father God. Father does not condemn Jesus Christ, and because we in him, we cannot be condemned. As long as we walk in obedience, glory to God, as long as we're persuaded that if I obey what he said, amen, I'm continually to be a victor. I am more. I am not condemned. Amen. Glory to God. We are not perfect. Listen, we may have something in us sometime, amen, that is worthy. Amen, deserve being condemned, but because we are in him, we are his body, and his head is above the water. Amen. He the head, amen, of the church, of the body, and as long as he is the head, amen, the children of God can never be condemned. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We are secure in him, y'all. The fight is fixed, y'all. Thank you, Lord. We already have the victory. Amen. You got to know it. You got to believe it. You got to know it. Amen.
Yeah.
And today, tonight, amen, I know that I know that I know, amen, that I am more than a conqueror. Amen. That I am a child of God. And if you can't condemn him because I am in him, you can't condemn me. Amen. I listened, didn't say I was perfect. Amen. Glory to God. But I'm in him. Amen. Glory to God. And I am, amen. He became what I was, or what we were, so that we could become who he is. And tonight, because Jesus Christ, amen, has the victory, amen, we the people of God have the victory, amen. And in him, we move, live, and have our being. Amen. We are secure in Christ because of what he's done. And I heard the woman of God say, I can boast in him. I can brag in him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Yeah.
He's my Lord. He's my Savior. Amen. Glory to God. And I love him tonight. And I am persuaded there is now no condemnation to those that walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. Amen. Yeah. Glory to God. You know what Paul done here in this passage? He done a lot of contrasting. He contrasts the life of the flesh to the life of the spirit. Amen. Yeah. Glory to God. And so we are conquerors because, amen, glory to God, there is a difference. Amen. Glory to God. In the flesh life, amen, we mind the things of the flesh. In the spirit life, we mind the things of the spirit. The carnal mind is in the flesh life, but a spiritual mind is in the spirit life. Amen. Glory to God. We are spiritually dead in the flesh life, but we are alive in the spirit life. Hallelujah. Yes. In the flesh life, we're an enemy to God. But in the, amen, spiritual life, we have no enmity with God. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless his name. Amen. We cannot please God in the flesh, but we can in the spirit. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. Our body is alive to sin in the flesh, but it's dead to sin in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless his name. Oh, God, we have that sinful life, but in him we have a righteous life. Amen. We are the righteousness of Christ. Amen. Glory to God. We have no Holy Spirit in the flesh, but we are quickening and made alive in the spirit. Amen. In the flesh, we are debtors to the flesh. Amen. But in Christ, we have no debt to the flesh. Amen. The flesh has no more sin, has no more dominion over us. Amen. No help from the spirit. Amen. When we're walking in the flesh. But amen. The spirit of God is our helper in Christ Jesus. Amen. The end of the flesh life is death. Amen. But the end of the spirit life, amen, is life everlasting. Amen. And I'm persuaded tonight. Amen. That I will hold, amen, my confidence to the end. Amen. Glory to God. That I am more than a conqueror. Amen. That I shall, amen, glory to God. Amen, declare the work of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen, glory to God. Amen. I thank God, amen, for what he has purchased. Amen, glory to God. Talking about a walking in the spirit. Amen. A walk is a continual progressive motion. Amen, we got to keep this walk up. Amen, and we got to keep the mindset of righteousness and holiness unto the Lord. That we can live and walk, amen, in the beauty of holiness. Amen. Glory to God. I'm telling you, I'm persuaded tonight that whether I'm in the grave or whether I'm still in the earth, when he come, amen, I shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and there I shall forever be with the Lord. I am persuaded tonight, my brothers and sisters, and where I walk right this night, amen, there is no condemnation. Amen, in my life. Amen. God bless y'all.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I am persuaded.
Yeah.
I am persuaded. I like that.
Yeah.
That means I'm convinced.
Yeah.
I've been persuaded. I am persuaded. I'm convinced. You can't tell me. I believe. I'm convinced. Amen.
I know you and Apostle got it. Y'all are really moving us through it tonight. I want to ask that we write down Psalms 23, verse number 4. I heard that as you all were sharing this evening, Pastor Reggie and Apostle, Psalms 23, verse number 4 says, I may walk through valleys as dark as death, but I won't be afraid. You are with me, and your shepherd's rod makes me feel safe. I want us to understand that we got the word that we can stand on. We are standing on our, not how I feel in my body, in my mind, but we got the word. He says it in Psalms 23, verse number 4. The psalmist said, I may walk through valleys as dark as death, but I won't be afraid. You are with me. That's something to hang on to, Sister Maddie. And your shepherd's rod makes me feel safe. Now, let me say this, too. The only way that we can be more than conquerors, you got to have an adversary.
You can't walk around talking about I'm more than a cop. You got to have an adversary.
You got
to have someone that is pressing against you. For you to be able to say that you got the victory, you had to have an opponent.
Yeah.
So we have to have an opponent. We have to have an adversary, and we as believers know who our adversary is. We know who our enemy is, and we know that he desires to send all kinds of life-defeating, joy-stealing attacks to threaten the well-being and the faith of God's children. But we have to stand on all of these attacks that we saw in Romans 8, 35 through 39. We saw all of those attacks, as the apostle said. We saw trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, everything. But
yeah.
It says we have to stand firm. Somebody ought to write that down tonight. I must stand firm. That's a declaration. But what am I standing firm on? I'm standing firm on the word of God, on the promises of God, the truth of God's word. I'm standing on his word. That's what I do when I'm in my prayer closet. I take the word in with me. And Sister Brenda, I hold the word back up to God. And I said, this is what you said in your word. You said that when I go through the waters, you would be with me. And I know you're with me. You said when I go through the rivers, they wasn't going to overwhelm me. I wouldn't drown. I'm going to have my head above the water. You said when I go through the fire wasn't going to burn me. It wasn't going to destroy me. You said that I was going to come out. And I already got written on my chest. See, I got a tattoo that says I'm more than a conqueror. I got a tattoo that says I am more than victorious. But to be victorious and to be more than a conqueror, you got to have an opponent. The only way the Olympic U.S. team won the gold was not just because Steph Curry hit all of the three-pointers, but notice the game before the last game, the U.S. was down 17 points. We were behind. And there was a lot of folks in that audience thought that the U.S. wasn't going to win. But notice, what did they do? They stood firm. They kept their eye on the goal. They didn't worry about what the scoreboard said. And there's some things in our life the scoreboard going to say, this is going to take you out. But what you got to do is get your eyes over the scoreboard, get your eyes over the way it looks, and put your eyes on Jesus. Say, I'm going to lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence coming my help. For my help coming from the Lord. Too many times we're looking at the problem and not looking at the problem solver. So when I look at this lesson tonight, Pastor Kuiper and Apostle, you all stir me up in knowing that, Deborah, to be victorious, you're going to have an opponent. You got an adversary. But remember what Exodus 14 and 14 says. It says the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Somebody need to hear us tonight.
All right.
Many times we have to learn how to stand firm on the word of God, as Apostle said, what the word says. We have to stand firm on the word. The word says in Exodus 14 and 14, he told his people then, you ain't got to worry about fighting this battle. The battle has already been won. All you got to do is stand still. What we have to do is listen to how the Lord tells us to walk through this. But know this, to be more, to say, to go around shouting, I'm more than a conqueror, you got an enemy, you got an opponent, you got an adversary. What does it say in Ephesians chapter 6? And I'm done. It says, stand firm. Hebrews 13, 5b says, we are not alone in this fight. And Apostle, thank you for those declarations that you gave tonight. I'm going to go back and listen to the recording and write them down. That we got to declare what the word says on our lives. And we got to walk in it. What does Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 say? Finally, let the mighty strength of the Lord make you strong. Put on the whole armor that God gives so you can what? Defend yourself against the devil's tricks. We are not fighting against humans. We are fighting against forces and authorities, against rulers of darkness and powers in the spiritual world. So put on all the armor. But we as disciples, we must keep our armor on. For it says in that verse 13, and the battle is over. And when the battle is over, you will still be standing firm. Yes, we are going to go through trials, tribulations, and suffering. Thank you, Pastor Kuiper. Thank you, Apostle. But I know somebody that is with me. I know that I'm going to go through some dark valleys, but I'm going through. I'm going through with a confidence that this is not my landing place because he's going to bring me out. I'm going through, as you say, Apostle, even with all these things that come that try to defeat me, to try to overcome me, to try to work in my mind, because that's where it starts, in the mind.
Yes.
Mama Aaron brought that one time, in the mind, the battle. But we are more than conquerors. We are overcomers against the adversary. We are overwhelmingly victorious. We ain't just one. It's just like playing the basketball game. I am more than a conqueror. When I end up, my final score is 142, and the opponent's score is 6. That's overwhelming, isn't it? That's more than a conqueror.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thank you all for bringing this lesson to us tonight and bringing us these additional scriptures that reminding us that we are not alone, Hebrews 13:5b, reminding us that we have to keep our head above the water, reminding us that we have a comforter, an advocate, Acts 1:8, that lives on the inside of us, that came in, Acts 2:38. Thank you again. Amen. Amen. Any other comments tonight? To bring forth from our presenters, Pastor Reggie and Apostle on tonight. Any comments, any nuggets that you got from just reading this scripture again and again that resonates with you? More than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Any comments tonight?
Pastor Singleton, if I can, let me just add this more than a conqueror, this promise, add that it is a conditional promise. It's conditional upon our love for him, to those that love him and those that are called according to his purpose.
Yes.
It's conditional.
Yes.
It is a conditional promise. Our love for God is demonstrated through our obedience to his word and aligning with his purpose. So I just wanted to add that to that. It is a conditional promise. It's conditional. It's contingent upon our love for God and our being called according to his purpose. And so we want to meet those conditions that we claim the promises of God.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Apostle, for going back to that, because you are so right. And that when we look at it, sometimes we just stop at the, we are assured and we know that all things work together for good. But
yes,
we said we got to keep on reading it, because you're
right.
Verse 28 says, we are assured and know that God being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good. But notice this, to and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. Sometimes we throw, like you say, we throw these verses around, but we don't want that part that brings on a responsibility.
That's it.
There's a responsibility. There's a principle that is attached for this to come forth. We have a responsibility as disciples of Christ. We got a part in this, too. Amen. Thank you, Apostle. I appreciate that. Thank you. Any other comments this evening? Yes, go on.
One more thing, Pastor. It's a conditional promise. And another thing, all things work together for good. We may not think they're good. So
come on now.
We can't always look and say, well, that wasn't good. What we see is good sometimes. God doesn't see. He doesn't see as we see. It may not be apparent to us that it's good, but we can be assured and persuaded that he's yet working for our good, to bring good out of those things, to bring light out of darkness, and to bring good out of bad. But we may not always see it as that, but yet he's working according to his word to bring good out of those things for his children.
Amen. Says again, he got a plan. He got a plan. He has a plan for our lives. That's why I say, Lord, let me relinquish myself. Let me think that I got it together. I know what to do. I know what to say. No, the Lord has a plan for our lives. What does he say in Isaiah 55 and 8? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares what? The Lord. He knows where he wants me to be tomorrow. He knows where he wants me to be in ministry next year or the year after or wherever he wants me to be. It's just like making a cake. The eggs and the flour and the oil, all those things separate don't taste good. But when I put them all together, mix them and put them on the right temperature, see, sometimes we think that we can pick what our trials ought to be. We pick. See, if we had to pick them, you know how it is. If we had to pick them, I want the light stuff. Oh, Lord, just let the lady at the Kroger, let her just say something ugly to me. I can handle that. But no, when you got to pray for the person that you love that has betrayed you. See, we want to pick our trials. We want to pick our tribulations. But the Lord said, that ain't going to make you strong, Deborah. I got to give you something that is going to build your spiritual muscles up because I got a place that I'm taking you. He's talking to all of us on this line tonight. Y'all remember when your mother, she told you to go out there and get your own switch? Nobody went out there and got no big old switch and planted it together so you could get. No, you went and got the most flimsiest thing there was. If you had to pick it. But I said, no, Lord, I can't pick it because I don't know the plan you have for me. But whatever the plan is you have for my life, I know this much, is that you are with me, that you are doing supernatural in the lives of the disciples of Christ. I wouldn't be where I am if I had to have picked the trials I wanted or the situations I wanted. I wouldn't be where I am today. My faith wouldn't be as strong as it is today if I had to pick them. But I knew this, that God was with me, and he's with me now, no matter what I have to face. You got to declare that in your own life. We don't pick it, but my God picks it. And because he picks it, I know because he loves me that he's making me into what he wants me to be. I'm on the potter's wheel. I don't know about y'all, but I'm on the potter's wheel. And it don't feel good. I'm being pruned. I don't feel good. But I know God is making me because it's not about Deborah. It's about the work and the mission and the call he has on our lives. Apostle would never have picked some of the things he's been through. Pastor Reggie would have never picked some of the things he has had to go through. But it's making them the better preachers, the better teachers, the better disciples of Christ, so that they can be able to help us who's going through storms, who's facing storms, who's going through sickness, who's going through this and that. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the storm. Lord, I thank you for my. I thank you. There was a time in my life I couldn't say, but I thank you because you're making me to be. See, it ain't about me. It's about who God wants you to meet on tomorrow to tell them about the saving grace and mercy of God. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, have your way in my life.
My God.
Thank you, Apostle. Thank you. Let's stand on the word. Let's get these scriptures in our heart so that when we're going through, that we can go back to the word of God and say, Lord, this is what you said in your word. This is what you said. This is what you promised me. You told me what to think about when I was going through stuff in Philippians 4. You told me in Romans 12, 1 and 2, that I'm not to be conformed to this world, but I got to be transformed by the renewal of my mind. How do I transform my mind, Deacon Everett? I transform my mind by the reading of the word and by operating in the word, by operating in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. We got to walk this out. We got to walk it out. Back over to you, Deacon Carter. Back over to you.
Was that
hot or not. I like this format. I love this format. Amen, amen. Anyone else? Any comments? This is strictly wonderful. Amen. Good walk, good walk. Man, oh man, oh man.
Yes, yes.
That
all God wants us to do is fulfill his purpose. That's what he wants us to do. Lord have mercy.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else?
Jesus.
As I said, good format, y'all. Good format.
Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me.
Yes.
Yes, Lord.
If there are no other comments, we'll move on to praise reports. What's today? Tuesday, October 3rd. What has happened? Good. Since Sunday evening.
I thank God for life. And I thank God that on Monday, my brother got sick and we are in the hospital now. But to God be the glory. He's still here. He's still alive. So I praise God for just being alive myself as well as him. And I praise God he's doing as well as he are. So thank you, Lord, for that. I thank God for that.
Amen.
So you're at the hospital now?
Yes.
Right, well, make yourself comfortable. I'm glad things are working out okay. Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Anyone else?
My friends in Texas, Rennie Dozier, he have improved a lot, but he still have a long ways to go. And the doctors are studying up on how to get a plug to keep that valve from leaking. They're studying up on it.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am. When his wife is up there sometime, he get a little irritated because she's a RN, and she tell him not to do things. Don't pull the plug out. He pulled it out, and he just told her, I'm just tired of you telling me what to do. And he only talks to her like that. So when he gets like that, his blood pressure goes up, his oxygen gets low, so she'll just pack up and leave and, you know, go home. And resume the next day. But she going back to work now for a little while because his brother is there from battle. And I told her that'll make her feel a little better. So she's going back to work because she know when he gets out, he's going to need her more. And she works for the VA. Uh-huh.
Amen. Sister Jen, we did reach out to that family. We are going to make a call to them, but we did reach out to them via our mail system as well. We are going to pray specifically for the situation the doctors are looking for. So I want to make sure I understand. They are looking for something to
plug that valve that's in him. And I told her they was just studying it up on how to handle that situation where the valve is leaking. And she called me the next day and she told me, she said, Janice, you told me that and that's what they're doing.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Amen. I appreciate it. If the Holy Spirit leads you, you can call in. Just let the Holy Spirit lead you. That's all
Amen.
I can say. Yes, ma'am. We appreciate you so much.
Amen.
What was the name? What was the name?
Rennie Dozier. His wife is named Felicia.
Okay. Is this Brenda on the line this evening?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, okay, cool. You got the names in. Okay. Anyone else?
Yeah, we want to put Sister Ruby and Brother Jig on here and as well as Cheryl Hitchcock, and she's scheduled to. I understand she's scheduled to bury her brother. I think Friday. And want to put the fam family that Bernie's Bagley Johnson on here as well, that her daughter passed.
Who was that?
This totals out her family. She had four children, and that is the last of the four. So.
I heard Purcell. Did you say?
No, it's Bagley. Bernie's Bagley Johnson, and I think the daughter's name was Niecy Chandler.
Okay. Are there others? Are there others to be added to the prayer list? Then we will proceed to the scripture, Dr. Deborah Singleton.
Amen. Before we read the scripture tonight, and we will be coming from Romans chapter 12, I want to remind us, please take the opportunity to go out to our website. Our website, Deacon Connor does an outstanding job in keeping it updated. It's not like many other websites you see. They start them and you go back, you haven't seen anything on there for 3 or 4 years or even longer. But our website is kept up to date. We'll be glad to resend the link to you so that you can go there. We have updated the website with the information from the Sunday night of encouragement. It's updated with a hard copy of those scriptures that we covered that evening. I want to thank Pastor Kuiper for being such a great recorder. But we recorded all those scriptures there in writing. You can go on that link. And you can print those scriptures out. You can go out there. We have the functions of the Holy Spirit out there. The website is there. We keep it updated with current information, with word information to help you no matter what situation you find yourself in. We got word out there that will encourage you. So please go out to our website and download the information. Look at the information and give us some comments back. Let us know. Say, you know, Minister Deborah, we would like to see more of this out there. We would like to see more of this out there to help us on our journey. I want you all to know we are in this together. I
Amen.
Need you and you need me. I need you and you need me. So please go out to the website. Let us know how we can better serve you. We are served. Pastor Kuiper, myself, Apostle Atside, Minister Mary, we are here to serve you. So please let us know what else, what other things we can do and add to that website. So our webmaster, Deacon Connor, we can get it to him. And I mean, he gets it on there and he gets it updated and it's beautiful. So please go to the website and download some of that information of scripture so it can help you. So let me get on to our scripture. Romans chapter 12.
Amen.
Let's begin with verse number 9. And I am reading tonight from a different translation, the CEV, the Contemporary English Version. And here's what it says about rules for Christian living. It says, be sincere in your love for others. Hate everything that is evil and hold tight to everything that is good. Love each other as brothers and sisters and honor others more than you do yourself. Never give up. Eagerly follow the Holy Spirit and serve the Lord. Let your hope make you glad. Be patient in time of trouble and never stop praying. That's Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 12. Amen. Sister Brenda.
Amen.
Our Father, our Holy Father, come tonight asking your forgiveness for many sins. I come tonight, Lord, lifting up these, your people, lifting up the Hodges family, lifting up Cheryl Hitchcock.
Yes.
Scheduled to bury the first of the family that has broke, when the circle has been broken, the circle has been broken. So we lift her up tonight.
Yeah.
We lift up Bernice Bagley Johnson. We lift up that family as they are burying, she's burying the last of her children. And then, Lord, we come lifting up Jig. We thank you for Jig, how many years he's told and you've kept him.
Yes.
We just thank you for Sister Ruby, that sister. She's gone so many miles beyond the call of duty.
Oh, yes.
So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We lift up Sister Ruby, who's not well herself.
We're asking, Lord,
that you would make a way that she would have her surgery.
Yes.
So, Lord, we lift her up as well.
Yes, Lord.
We know that she's holding on and it's not easy.
Yes.
But we thank you. We thank you for her services.
Yes.
So, Lord, we lift her up right now, and we ask that you would make a way. Heal Brother Jig, if it be your will. And if not, just make a way for Sister Ruby to continue to endure.
Mm-hmm.
And then we lift up Valencia. And she, too, is going through with her husband, Rennie. We're asking you to bless. I know you already know where the plug goes in his heart.
Mm-hmm.
But we're asking you to bless the doctors and nurse, somebody in that hospital or in another hospital to find out where to put that plug.
Yes, do Lord.
Healing. Touch his heart.
In the name of Jesus.
Oh, Lord, let him be a little more patient with his wife and understand she's just as upset about him as he is.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, touch. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we lift up this family. You can do more with them than we can. So we lift them up to you. We're asking for a miraculous healing.
Yes.
We're going to go ahead and thank you, Lord, for the miraculous healing. We're going to go ahead and thank you in advance for the healing that he's about to receive.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. To God be the glory. We thank you for it in advance. In the precious, wonderful, powerful name of Jesus, we say thank you. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Sister Brenda. It has been another glorious evening, hearing the voices and hearing the walk. And I want to thank Brother Deacon Percolator Everett. For the prayer. We thank you for the song. And we thank you for the new terrific trio. It has been a wonderful walk. Pastor Professor Reginald Kuiper, the one and only Apostle Arlene Atside, and Minister Dr. Deborah Singleton. We thank you all so much. That was a wonderful walk. As I said before, as I have aforementioned, I love that format. So, until we meet again, God be with you.
Amen.
And good night.
Good night to all.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. God bless. Love y'all.
Good night.
Good night, Aria.
Good night, Mama.
Good night,
Ruby D. So Clay.
Good night, Miss Maddie.
Y'all get y'all some
rest. Good night, Maddie.
Good night, Aria.
Hope to see y'all tomorrow.
All right.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Night, night.
Good night.
When I got saved, when I got delivered from drugs and alcohol, my grandmother, she told me, she said, there's a song I want you to learn. And when you come back to my church, I want you to sing.
For the Lord, on my side.
Mighty good.
Amen. I know God has smiled on me.
Yes, ma'am.
Hey. I know he smiled on me. Amen. I know he has smiled on me. Amen. Amen. I know he has. I don't know about nobody else, but I know he smiled on me.
Yes. No, he smiled on me.
Be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. Oh, please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. Oh, when God gets through with me, when God gets through with me,
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Good night, you all. Good night. I pray that you were blessed by those songs as we close out. Oh, how I love Jesus because he first loved me. I love you all. Good night.
Love you too. Good night.